It's Sunday, February 17th, 2008.
From the Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web, we meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week.
That's piratesweek.info.
But at least you heard of me, right? Hey, this is Ragnar Danisjod, and you've stumbled upon, once again, the Pirates Week. Well, we don't really have a bunch of pirate in the news stories this week, but we will be going through some relevant forum posts on the internet, including the Free Radio Network, and note stations logged per the Free Radio Weekly. We have several off-air recordings for you this week, the propagation forecast. Oh, what else? Oh, we got some updates on the SWL Fest and some other things of interest to the pirate radio listening community. Hey, so stay tuned. Should be a halfway decent Pirates Week.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Danisjold.
Well, I don't have a whole bunch of stuff to ramble on about at the beginning of the program. A couple house cleaning things towards the end, but let's get right into it. From DXing with Cumbre, the Pirate King, Chris Lobdell, has an interesting proposal for you. At least he has something he wants to try to sell you. Take a listen to this. This is pretty cool.
Listening to Pirating with Cumbre on DXing with Cumbre. And we've about come to the end of our program today. I do want to give you an important announcement. Anybody who is a fan of Radio Azteca, we have some good news for you. I would like to let you know that Radio Azteca, the collection, is now available. Radio Azteca hit the airwaves back in September of 1992, featuring the biting wit and bodily function humor of Bram Stoker that featured bumper music from the Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoon show. During the period from September of 1992 until September of 2002, Bram Stoker produced 40 shows as well as 5 cultural specials and 3 music and ID shows. Radio Azteca was the most popular studio pirate of all time, being broadcast by over 12 different pirates over the years. This is a 2-CD audio MP3 set on 2 CDs, and it has all the studio quality programs ever produced by Bram for Radio Azteca, from the home office in Slip-Up, Kentucky. So relive all those great segments such as Animal Stories, Story Time, the Top 10 Lists, Actual Stuff, the Male Scrotum Mailbag, and that all-time favorite, Ask Dr. Radio. Hear about Bram's favorite characters, Emiliano Zamboni, Monique the Mailwoman, Reverend Billy Bob Chili Pecker, Jean-Guy Pepsi, and Jean-Guy Pepsi. Sit back, relax, and enjoy some pirate history with this 2-CD set. So you can get this 2-CD set available immediately from yours truly, Chris Lobdell. The cost in the United States is $10, $10 postpaid. And elsewhere in the world, it is $15. You can send your money in cash to Chris Lobdell, Box 146, Stoneham, Massachusetts, 02180 in the USA. And we'll be glad to send you that Radio Azteca collection out by return mail. There are 48 programs on there, 40 regular shows, 5 cultural specials, and 3 music and ID programs. So it's a great collection, and anybody, the serious pirate listener, would want to have in his collection. So order it from me immediately, or if you're going to the Winterfest, I'll be selling them at the Winterfest as well.
For that segment where we feel the pulse of the world, the heaving, throbbing, pulsating pulse, actual stuff. And if you don't think that we have the right feel, feel again. All these items were heard on the air, taken from published news media, or sent into Radio Azteca by you weird people. We are not making these up. Ed Roush of Cedar Grove, New Jersey, sent in 2 articles he thought should be shared. One involves a 35-year-old mother and grade school teacher who had sex with one of her 13-year-old students and had his baby. She said, quote, "We just walked together in the same rhythm," unquote. They apparently also did more than just walk to the same heaving, throbbing, pulsating rhythm.
Somebody has to do it, eh?
The next next article Ed sent in involves a dentist who had weird sex with one of his patients while she was on laughing gas. Ed adds that the dentist also lives in his QTH. A note from the article says, quote, "The accused dirty dentist even took a hit of the nitrous oxide himself and drank a beer during the 1.5-hour sexual attack. He's accused of fondling her breasts and performing a sex act in front of her. He allegedly told her, quote, 'Your body wanted it,' unquote. He put the mask on her and put her under again." That's all bad enough, right? A Manhattan judge released him without bail. Apparently he didn't pull his sausage in front of the judge. Doesn't it make your butt pucker to imagine what a sex-crazed dentist could do to you with a high-speed drill, a well-greased spit sink, and that water-sucking thing? What do we learn from all of this? That there are people in Cedar Grove, New Jersey, who listen to Radio Azteca, and those who have weird sex in dentist's offices.
That was Radio Azteca, recorded live off-air at Culpsville, 2007. Well, at the opening, I think I lied to you when I said I didn't have any pirate in the news stories. Well, maybe not. There is an ongoing debate on the FRN if Todd Doherty is an actual pirate or not. But either way, Todd was in the news. At least he made This Week in Amateur Radio discussing his ongoing case. Take a listen to This Week in Amateur Radio.
An amateur operator in Illinois has been warned by the FCC that he could potentially face stiff fines and other penalties for operating an unlicensed broadcast station on at least two frequencies. Newsline's Bruce Tennant, K6PZW, has the story.
In its January 29th letter to Todd E. Doherty, N90GL, the FCC says that the information before it indicates that the Taylorsville, Illinois ham has been operating an unlicensed radio station on 6.950 and 13.556 megahertz. Also, the information indicates that the signal strengths of these transmissions exceed the power limit of Part 15 of the Commission's rules for unlicensed transmitters. According to the rules, the maximum radiated power from Part 15 devices is 500 milliwatts. In response to an earlier letter received by the Enforcement Bureau on November 6, 2007, Doherty asserted that his power levels were in compliance with those Part 15 rules. But in its latest letter, the FCC says that Doherty's response was insufficient, contradictory, and indicated a misunderstanding of the Part 15 power limits for unlicensed stations. It quotes Doherty's alleged statements made in 2006 and 2007, describing his shortwave station known as Omega One as operating at 5 watts, then 10 watts, and later 50 and 100 watts. In the FCC's eyes, operating at power levels in excess of the Part 15 rules constitutes unlicensed operation. It also says that such unlicensed operation would be a violation of Section 301 of the Communications Act of 1934, as well as the Commission's own rules. It warns Doherty that a fine could be as much as $10,000. I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
Doherty was also told by the FCC that the continuation of such operation could also reflect adversely on his qualifications to remain an amateur radio service licensee.
The FRN Forum Post is...
Well, you know what that intro means. It's time to take a look around the internet for some relevant postings on pirate radio, starting off like we always do at the Free Radio Network, www.frn.net/vines. Well, someone has torqued off Pat Murphy again. Apparently, someone posted some disapproving remarks about a pirate show in the logging section. Pat says, "This is not mainstream media. This is pirate radio, and you aren't going to like everything you hear. If you have a comment for a pirate op about a program, do it in private email or ask a question on the Vines. Don't put it in the loggings post. Then Pat goes on to say, I don't agree or disagree with the program. What I do support is the operator's right to do the program. If you disagree with the op's views, email him or ask a question in the shortwave vines. Ask why you did the program. You may be surprised to find out the motivations. Pat goes on to say, all the pirate operators he knows or have spoken to are open to questions and intelligent exchanges or discussions. Hiding behind an anonymous handle and posting an attack will not only be tolerated, it will get you banned. Commander Bunny posts that his t-shirt sale is going on this weekend. I went over to eBay. Not a lot left in stock, so be sure to get over there and snag up one at 20% off before they're all gone. Bad Andy asks if anyone has tried the Echo Filter digital audio filtering software. Mr. Radio replies, it seems useless to him. One thing it did do is screw up all his sound card settings, and he had to go in and fine-tune all the settings. So be careful with this program. That's the Echo Filter Digital Audio Filtering Software. SMR1000 says he's hearing all of this SSTV sounds on the bands and wants to know, what software do you use to decode the images? Well, LC International steers him towards MMSSTV. It's a free program and one that I use. It's a really good program, actually. Sealord adds that you better watch the signal input levels from your radio into your computer sound card. You know, keep the volume low. And I second that. You have to really turn down your audio output from your rig into your computer. Hey, over in the workshop forum, Lex posts a brief description of a choke balun and links to an article in Ham Universe. It's a cheap, potentially free way to combat RFI. And following up on a post about the MMSSTV program, Sealord posts his settings that he uses for his configuration in the program. The biggest adjustment you need to make is on your clock sync. It's found in the setups pull down under miscellaneous and adjust. Just tune your radio to WWV, the time signal, and follow the diagonal line. Sealord asks if there's any trick to tuning in FM on shortwave. Is there any technique for the gain setting? Is there a minimum, maximum bandwidth to use? Well, Beans replies that Commander Bunny is the only pirate on HF that has been doing FM. He's done it since the 70s. Beans says he uses a 10 kHz filter, but if you don't have anything that wide, 7 kHz should do. You might also want to try turning down the RF gain on the receiver. One of the problems with FM on HF is the ducting effect, which gives a multiple path to the signal. But when everything is working, it's awesome to listen to. And talk about FM over in the LPFM section. Radio Brandy posts that he's taking free radio on the road. His public awareness campaign will provide information on low power and Part 15 broadcasting, as well as hands-on demonstrations. Literature will also be made available, providing information on what equipment to purchase and where to purchase it at. Manufacturers are welcome to provide equipment for demonstrations and displays, and programmers of radio stations are encouraged to provide promotional CDs, bumper stickers, etc. Check out Radio Brandy's website. He's got pretty much all laid out there. One thing he is not doing, however, is telling you where he's going to be on the road as he travels the nation. Hey, over in Alt Radio Pirate, Fatty Moe asks how come he's never seen a design using the VH1414. Appears to have all the inputs, outputs, and taps to add bettering audio and pilot MPX filtering, and would seem easy to add an RDS. So why hasn't anybody using it? Well, Bob replies, it has a horrible output spectrum. And from, actually, the Free Radio Weekly hasn't showed up yet, so we're going to take a look at the Free Radio Network, the FRN, to see who's been on air this last week. Stations being heard this last week on air include East Coast Radio, The Crystal Ship, Radio for the Common Man, WMPR, Bipolar Radio, WBNY, Mashup Radio, Random Radio, Spider Radio, K-Earth, Wolverine Radio, Psycho Radio, Liquid Radio, and Radio 6X. And people receiving QSOs this last week include, well, Marcel received a golden EQSO from Spider Radio.
You know the weird guy in the corner of the office who always has his headphones on? That's you!
Well, you know what that means. It's time now to do our off-air recordings. I got four of them for you this week, so let's get right into it. First one up is Mashup Radio. Mashup Radio, 6925 Upper Sideband, the 13th of February. 2300 UTC, had a SIO323. Wasn't all that good. Probably the worst reception of the four I have for you. Playing a bunch of mashups. Mashups, of course, are when an artist will take two or three or more songs, put them together, and come up with a whole new piece of art called a mashup. Hey, take a listen to a Mashup Radio. Next up is Random Radio, 6925 Upper Sideband, the 14th of February, 0130 SIO433, coming on with a whole bunch of IDs in various languages, and this is right from the sign-on. This is slightly out of tune, which was my fault, but it's about 2 minutes long. Take a good listen to Random Radio.
Budete random radio show. Last thought on Mac Oi random radio.
Tune to the English Language Service of Random Radio, broadcasting on the 43-meter band shortwave. For your free Random Radio QSO card, please send the reception report, along with a valid postal address, to the logging section of the grapevines at www.frn.net. That's www.foxromeonancy.net. I am your host, Roderick Random. Tonight's episode, Happy Valentine's Day.
So here we go with the fiddle and the bow and the shovel and the hoe. Look out below. Oh, tell me when you send her my heart above, my heart's above them. Tell me when you send her, when you beat my balling thing.
I wouldn't lie to you. Alone at 99, you'll find me. It's not 2 weeks to bust and sing goodbye.
Next up is WBNY, definitely a favorite here at the Pirates Week, 6925 Upper Sideband, the 14th of February, 2210 to 2230, SIO, a blazing 444. This is some classic WBNY. The commander sounding just a little bit reedy in his voice today, but on with some tire pressure checks and Al Phantom taunts, the obligatory revolutionary propaganda, and then the Peter Cottontail music. So take a listen. This is about a minute and a half of WBNY. Finally, WMPR, 1625 AM, the 16th of February, 2140, SIL 444, actually probably better than that, coming on with dance music, WMPR, dance party ID, very quickly faded out around 2200. I could tell he was still there after that, but boy, he was a quick fade out on that one, but came on very strong, about a minute and a half of WMPR.
WMPR
Dance Party.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
And once again from This Week in Amateur Radio is the weekly propagation forecast.
Taking a look at this week's propagation forecast, we see that no sunspots appeared this week. Solar flux was about the same as last week. The 45-day outlook for solar flux and planetary A index from the NOAA and the Air Force, which was issued on February 10th, was predicting a flat solar flux of 70. Then the following day, this was revised to show 72 for February 12th through the 18th, then 70 after that. Then this was changed on February 12th to show a value of 72 for solar flux for February 13th through the rest of the 45-day period.
Well, in other radio news, let's talk about the Shortwave Listening Fest in Culpsville. The DX Party Line talked with Richard Cuff about why you may want to return to Culpsville this year for the Shortwave Listening Fest. This from the DX Party Line.
Richard Cuff is one of the co-festmeisters of the 21st Annual Shortwave Listener Fest in Culpsville, Pennsylvania, in the United States. He talked with us last week and told us why a person who has never been to the fest should plan on attending this year. Let's change that around and say that you've been there before. Why should you return this year?
Normally, we try to provide a mix of forums that cover material that
really does not change all that much year from year. Now, for instance, scanning and pirate radio are sessions that we have every year. You know, even though the topics remain the same, sometimes there's new information, either about new receivers that people might be interested in, or in the case of pirates, you know, new pirates or new trends in pirate listening that might be interesting. Quite often, people getting involved in shortwave listening enjoy elements of the history of shortwave and radio. And we've got a session, two sessions this year that focus on radio history. One is called Offshore Radio 1584. It's an in-depth look at the world's first licensed offshore radio station, the project that was funded by the Caroline Movement, who supported the longtime pirate Radio Caroline. Another history-oriented session is called Imagining Short Waves to Pulp Fiction. And Jack Widener has prepared a history of C.M. Stanbury II. He had written the shortwave news service and also wrote a novel called Antimatter that really is an interesting look at history that's relevant to radio. So these are aspects of the specialized forums and some elements of history that are topics that we haven't covered in the past.
March 7th and 8th is this 21st Annual Shortwave Listener Fest. For more information, SWLFest.com.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. I'm glad you stopped by to take a listen to what's going on in pirate radio and shortwave pirate radio this week. Yeah, I did want to make a quick mention. I have launched my personal blog, Sans Contemplation, not dedicated to pirate radio, but to whatever I'm interested in at the moment. So I may decide to include some radio stuff from time to time. It's found at ragnar.shortwavepirate.info. There's links on other sites that I own, RF programs, and the home to this show, piratesweek.info. And that's where you can find the show notes of this program, www.piratesweek.info. And everything we talked about, I link to in the show notes there. So that's going to wrap it up for this week. I'm glad you stopped by. So until next week, as always, hey, thanks for listening.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.